All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by the Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Episode 83, Oilers Nation Radio. I am here in Bag Milk, talking to you as always on a Friday afternoon. I've got Tyler Yaremchuk manning the board. Rick is here. Dan is here. We got a little bit to discuss today. But first, I want to start by thanking our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant for helping make this all possible. Go ahead and follow them on Twitter at Sherwood Ford and on Instagram at Sherwood Ford _ the Giant. If you need anything at all, be it financial relief or some help with your vehicle, maybe a new vehicle, wherever you're at, go check out our friends at Sherwood Ford. They would be happy to help you with everything you've got going on. Now, gentlemen, news this week that came out a little bit about our fair city. Edmonton is being considered as a host city for the Pacific Division, provided that the NHL can get back underway safely. So I wanted to talk to all of you about it. Tyler, I want to start with you because you've written about Edmonton. You've talked about Edmonton as a possibility before. Why do you think our city works better than some?
Yeah, we've dug into it now on a few podcasts, but it's the one that jumps to mind first. You're starting to see it get some really positive media attention in this way, but you have two NHL-sized arenas in one building, which is not something a lot of places can kind of flex. Add on top of the fact that you have a hotel attached to the arena, so the players would never have to leave. Because when you think about this, whatever city ends up getting these games or end up becoming neutral sites, there's going to be a lot of fanfare around it. And I think a big part of it is that, you know what, you don't necessarily want players staying in a hotel 15 minutes from the rink, because that gives the opportunity for fans to crowd around the hotel and do all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, it would happen. So that's the nice part about Edmonton. They could basically just lock the doors to Rogers Place, stuff four or five organizations in there, and then give her, right? So it jumps off the page because of the two NHL-sized arenas and the fact the hotel's there. But the other big thing is the NHL talked about the need for a lot of dressing rooms and locker rooms. Well, here in Edmonton, you would have, in Rogers Place alone, you have the Oilers room, the Oil Kings room, which I've been around that thing. It's pretty much NHL caliber. You have the visiting room for the WHL, the visiting room for the NHL as well. So you have four rooms right there in that one building. The community arena, maybe not so much space, but there's still spacious locker rooms, and the McEwen Griffins have a setup there as well. So it's good enough facilities. So there's a long list of reasons why this would work.
Do you think also just, you mentioned McEwen, do you think that also having McEwen right there, Nate just down the road, also kind of helps?
Yeah, because the NHL said you're going to need practice facilities, right? If you're going to be doing two games a day or however many they want, the teams that maybe aren't playing that day are going to need somewhere to skate. So you're right. For that instance, they could go to Nate. Off the top of my head, I can't think of them, but there are others arenas around downtown. They could even go to the university. It's only about, what, a 10-15 minute drive from Rogers Place. So there's another rink that would open.
Oliver Rink's right here. I'm looking at Oliver Arena right now.
Right, and it might not be NHL sized, but for practices, that might just be good enough. Yeah.
Yep.
Rip, what do you think about having all these NHLers downtown? Obviously, there's a lot of hurdles that would need to be cleared. A lot of shit going on, logistics, blah blah blah. How many people can they bring? How many staff? All that. But what do you think about the NHL looking at our city as an option?
I like it. Obviously, it's just maybe a little feather in the cap for the city for whatever reason. Maybe we just got lucky because we have the facilities all right now. But I think the city's done a pretty good job with all their COVID cases to begin with. So maybe it is a little bit, quote unquote, safer to bring them here. And I know as Tyler is saying, you know, here you wouldn't have people like hanging around outside. But with nobody else having anything else to do, I know that's the first place I'll be. I'll have a lawn chair out there sitting right outside Rogers Arena trying to find my way in.
Do you think that, like, I mean, Tyler, you can just go, you don't even have to go outside, right?
Yeah,
I've been in the JW.
You can go not right anymore, from the JW. Pedways, yeah. Yeah, there's pedways everywhere, so that's what I mean, right? And if you, like, would the JW be enough to house, like, the entire Pacific Division? I think it might be close, but it's probably not enough. But there,
we looked it up yesterday on Real Life. Yeah. There are 346 rooms at the JW.
So,
and I assume the bulk of them are empty right now.
Yeah. So if you were to double that and assume that organizations can put two guys per room, which I know right now seems ridiculous, but if they're quarantined together, they're quarantined together. You could fit upwards of 700 people in there. That is close to 100 people per organization if you needed to bring the whole division here. So it could probably work. And yeah, like I said, they would never have to leave that building. They would just, you know, make sure there's barricades up so the public can't get in, and they could have that as their own little area. If you wanted to go as far as like closing down the businesses there, you could set up like dining halls and stuff, right?
Well, you've got some of the businesses closed down already. Yeah. Pretty much in terms of restaurants and whatnot, right? I'm fairly certain you could convince Joey to shut down their takeout service for a night while you feed a couple teams or something.
Because that's the other thing, too. These guys are going to need food, right? Like, if they're going to live there for a month, you need to give them the amenities to live there for a month. So would the NHL go as far to, like, literally buy out, like, a Joey's or another restaurant around there and be like, listen, you are cooking for us and only us, and you need to give us 6 staff members that are going to be quarantined and be ready to work full-time? Because are they going to want to risk...
I'm volunteering. Yeah.
But are they going to want to risk, like, food delivery services coming in and out to these guys?
No, I don't think you can. I think it has to be as tight as possible. And if you're going to keep the teams within inside a certain 4 set of walls, then you got to keep the food and pretty much everything. And you've got to biodome it, man.
Yeah.
Once you close that door, once you lock the lock, you really can't open it up again until it's all done.
I know it sounds extreme to be like, oh, they can get food from anywhere, like you're going too far. But one outbreak in one of these cities is going to shut down the whole league again. So you can't take any chances if you're going to try to do this.
You got to be 100% either do it or don't. So either lock it all down and do it as safe as possible or don't.
Dan, you see any drawbacks in this plan?
Well, that's what I was going to say. But like, I think that we've kind of touched on all the positives, right? Edmonton's corona cases are pretty low, especially for in a province where we see, you know, like buildings, meatpacking facilities that have more cases than the city of Edmonton does. So that's a positive. We have the arena facility that is a structure that we can base this kind of this protection shell around the players, which is great. But as Tyler said, all it takes is one of those other 3 cities to have an issue. You know, Toronto's having to bring in the military to help with their senior facilities. The state
was Toronto even in the initial 4, by the way?
No, they were not.
Yeah, so no. Did Toronto just like bully with their name into this situation? Is Toronto even part of it?
Because I only heard it was Toronto, like, down as one.
Or
yeah, that's what I heard.
I thought it was like Raleigh, Minnesota, Edmonton, and then somebody else they hadn't decided yet.
Yeah, well, I had the initial report had Edmonton, North Carolina, Raleigh, and then Minnesota as well.
Right? And then a TBD.
Yeah.
So that's like, I don't know what the situation is in all those cities, but like Tyler said, as soon as one player comes down with symptoms, they have to shut it all down again. So I don't know. You wish that there was a location in Edmonton where they could house all of the playoff teams. It's just not possible. I think that's what they were looking at with North Dakota. But I'm sure that, you know, the University of North Dakota also has the same issues. You can't house, you know, 100 people for every organization. So you can't do that for the rumored 24 teams that they have coming in. So I don't know. It's exciting, but I'm also just like, when you know, you're hopeful and hope will never die and all that, but there's also like that apprehensive feeling of, is this really going to work? Like the logistics are just so strong that there's so many hurdles that they have to overcome. I hope they can do it.
Well, it's going to be interesting because I was reading a post, Larry Brooks from the New York Post wrote about it. The NHL is set to lose at least $1 billion should they not be able to get back on the ice for 2019-2020. So I don't think that we're going to have any shortages of ideas. Like I'm almost kind of expecting this idea to fall through as well in the coming week or 10 days or 2 weeks or month. And then we pivot to idea 4.0 or 5.0 or wherever we're at right now. But it's nice to see that Edmonton would be in the mix. Jay said it yesterday on Real Life, give that a download, but it would also be a little influx of money into the local economy, which is important. There would be supporting some restaurants, be it one that gets just closed down or however that works. Cause these guys, like Tyler said, do need to get fed, all that stuff. There's obviously a million hurdles that need to be cleared here. And also there's the biggest one of whether or not, local and municipal governments would even allow this to happen in the first place, right? Cause having all these players in town just to play sports would also tie up a bunch of resources that potentially could be needed by the general public. So,
and it's not just like the 23-man roster, right? I know we said, you know, 100 per organization or whatever, and I think that's a bit of a stretch. After I said it, I was like, maybe not. But it's not too much of a stretch because, one, I think you're going to need bigger rosters than 23-man, right? If players aren't allowed to come in, if you're not allowed to recall, I could see the NHL being like, you can carry a 28-man roster.
There is no roster size in the playoffs anyways.
Yeah, I guess that is true. And then on top of that, like, it's not just your three or four coaches, but every team's going to want to bring their video staff as well. Every team's going to want to bring their athletic staff and their trainers and their front office and everything like that. Like, you start counting up doctors, how many people are in the organization, and it's not hard to actually think, you know what, you probably need 70 to 75 people.
Yeah.
Well, and also and then that completely doesn't even touch on the obvious fact that do these guys want to be quarantined in a place for a month, 2 months, however long it is, without their families?
Away from their family where they could be possibly stuck in an outbreak city. Like, there's just, there's all kinds
of those guys who travel, who cross the ocean are doing that anyways, right? The family thing.
That's true. Yeah. But then you just brought up another point too. Like, there's a lot of players, like even I'm thinking off the top of my head, Oscar Klefbom's in Sweden right now. Like, how are those players getting back here safely? Like, are they going to have, is Kate's jet going to fly out and pick everybody up in a round trip, or what's going
on? That's going to be an issue though, because I know there are some players who are upset about guys who went back to Sweden because, you know, there really is no rules going on right now. And it is just a free for all, and they're handling this a little bit differently. So those guys, you never know what those guys are bringing back when they come back.
And
if you miss what Rick's talking about, Sweden has actually allowed some of these guys to get back on the ice this week. So players over here that are stuck in their houses are obviously a little bit upset about that. So there's going to be all kinds of competitive advantages and ways to, you know, try and game the system a little bit. Tyler, you brought this point up yesterday again on Real Life Podcast. What about the Edmonton Oilers? Would they also have to be in the hotel?
Would they
be allowed to go back home and sleep in their own bed?
You have to control the outbreak from the
if they're walking outbreak. if they're walking Leonard Doodle down the street one day and he gets it from somebody else and he takes it to the game and, you know, and gets somebody else like on the other team.
You shot the quarantine, the 2 week quarantine that they'd have to do. You shot that in the foot.
Yeah, no, that biodome's got to be locked up.
The other thing too, though, and I know this seems a little bit like a small detail, but would other teams want the Oilers using their locker room in the sense that, like, that's a decent advantage for the Oilers to get your own home facilities while everyone else is basically playing in on road facilities, right? You get your own comforts of your own locker room and all that. Like, is that something that maybe plays in? Does the NHL assign locker rooms within every neutral site that the team can set up camp in and stay in? Or is it like a rotation based on what rink you're on?
You just can't use the NHL home dressing room. That one stays neutral. Everybody has to split up the rest of them.
Yeah,
you're right. But you know what, though? It's a once-in-a-lifetime situation. I think people are going to go, this sucks, but this most likely will never happen again. Or, you know, cross our fingers, it doesn't ever happen again. There's going to just be some times when things are going to go your way. But like I said, it's a once-in-a-lifetime situation, man. I don't think everyone get too bent out of shape for it.
COVID-20 is going to be lit.
It's going to be... If this idea does move down the road a little bit and we get closer or whatever, it's going to be interesting just to see the amount of compromises that come on both fucking sides of the aisle on this one, from the league and the players. Because if they actually do want to get back on the ice and recoup some of that $1 billion they're going to lose, there's going to be some weird shit going on, man. There's going to be weird ideas, and I think that's kind of the only way this is going to go.
On another note, like, the broadcasting side of this is going to fascinate me as well, because you're probably going to have your play-by-play color guys calling it off a monitor back in Toronto. I don't think you're bringing those guys to the rink, but like...
Wouldn't you just do a national?
Yeah, you'd do a national, but you would probably just be calling them not from in the arena to limit the amount of people brought in there. But like, would Kyle Bukauskas or Mark Masters or Gene Principe be allowed in these neutral sites? Would they have dedicated reporters on the inside?
I think it's a good point.
They would probably want a crew that stays on the inside of the biodome. So I think there'd be two crews on the inside that don't leave as well.
Pack your bags, guys.
You're going in.
We literally just need to run like an article that's just like a running tally, and we can just have people ask or like put out scenarios as to what issue would come up, and then we could all come up with ideas and solutions for it. Because you literally, as you work your way through it, you're like, oh yeah, they're also going to have to be fed. Oh yeah, they're also going to have medical supplies supplied to them that aren't going to be in the hospitals. Like, the lists are endless. And like you said, and a broadcast team, I mean, Tyler, you know better than any of us what a television broadcast crew takes to put together a show. They need a truck inside the building because they need to be connected to the audio visual stuff, and so they need a team inside that truck. So then you got another team of people that are working two games a day at least, like for a month. Like, it's just like three games a day. That's a recipe for burnout.
I'm telling you right now, you can't have a play-by-play guy do three games a day for a month. No. Like, he'll have no voice by day four.
That's exactly it.
The other thing, too, you said audio-visual. The audio of this whole thing, are you going to have to pump crowd noise into the arena during play, I'm thinking? Because the last thing from a PR perspective the NHL wants is every shift while the game's going on, the ice mic's picking up every fucking shit that goes on, right?
That's the good stuff. The PA would hate that. Jesus, would that be good.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, you put together like a Zoom chat where everybody can just scream into their microphones, and then it gets piped into the arena. But then you get some kid that, you know, goes rogue and says something, you know, mashed potatoes over and over again. It's just every little bit of this is just like, man, I don't know. It's uncharted territories, yeah. And that's why we've been paying them the big bucks to do this for as long as they have, to try and figure this kind of thing out. But it's a wild thought experiment to work through.
I really hope they would also do what that, I don't know if it was a Chinese baseball league or wherever that is.
But
they
put, like, cutouts?
The cutouts and the robotic fans in the stands. I would love that shit. It would be so funny. Just like have like little mechanical ways of having them bump up and down. It would be the best. It would be so weird.
But I take know, it like, way too far. Like, have a flat cop come and like escort a guy out of his seat. Like, stop motion shit.
Like, we're talking full Home Alone style where just cardboards, like they're on tracks and they're moving around, and there's a beer guy going up and down the stairs. It'd be the best. Speaking of the best, again, I want to give a shout out to our friends at Sherwood Ford, the Giants. They are wonderful people that are prepared to help you with anything you need, from whether that's financing needs to service to new vehicles. Go check them out on Twitter at Sherwood Ford and on Instagram at Sherwood Ford _ the Giant. Sticking with the Edmonton Oilers a little bit, Uncle Ken took care of some business this week as he signed Philip Berglund to an ELC. The Swedish defenseman was taken in the third round of the 2016 draft. They had to make a decision on him or they would have lost his rights. But according to Jim Matheson, Berglund is also set to stay over in Sweden for another year and not come over until 2021. For the 2021-2022 season. So still some time there, but they did take care of a little bit of business. He had, with the Super Swedish Junior League, he had 7 points in 10 games, had some injury troubles. NHLE of 13, as it stands right now, in 200 Swedish Elite League games. How do you feel about a freshly signed Philip Berglund?
Can we put in the chirp there, the bird chirp? Like, there's not the, hey, it's just another step you got to take with a draft pick, I guess.
To be honest, I was just happy to see some actual Oilers news come out, like just something legitimate. Like, this is just an everyday normal thing that should be happening, and you know, I like normal shit sometimes.
Well, we're deep in defensemen, right? So it's nice. We're at that point now where we can just have those guys sit and grow on their skills in Europe, and they don't have to come over to North America and be told to dump the puck out of the zone every time. Like, they're able to kind of grow as Ken Holland likes to have his prospects grow traditionally. So I think it's positive, and you're right. It is nice to just have simple signing that has no COVID-19 kind of restrictions or issues placed on it. It's just news.
Yeah, to be honest, it was nice to just kind of have something go up on the site that wasn't just like, well, here's what Dave Tippett thinks about, coronavirus or whatever.
His draft profile in 2016 said he's calm looking on the ice, makes a very good outlet pass, and is a weapon from the point on the power play. They said his shot is pro-ready. Now he's 22 years old. I'm kind of hoping, like, he's 22 already. I think you probably want to see him in North America right away, though, right? Like, you're not signing him to this contract for him to spend another year overseas. The plan should be to bring this guy over because he's getting to that age where you got to start playing North American style hockey, right? And prove that you can.
100%. It's always interesting too with these, because it's obviously going to take him some time to get adjusted to a North American game. So like Tyler said, getting him over here quickly would be the ideal scenario. Sticking with draft picks, I came up with a bag milk hypothetical for you, gentlemen.
Is it as evil as the last one you did?
No. If you missed out, the last one was if you had to replace Ken Holland with any of the last four GMs, who would you pick? I got a couple of DMs on that one, just saying, like, what a horrible, horrible choice that you have to make. But
quarantine bag milk is a dark bag milk.
Listen, man, I got a lot of time to think and just fuck around and do nothing by myself. So this is what I've been doing. Is thinking about weird hypotheticals. So we are sticking with draft picks. And my hypothetical for you is if the Edmonton Oilers were given the ability to have a mulligan on one draft pick in Oilers history, who would you pick and why? If you're going with one draft pick mulligan throughout history. I can see the looks on your faces. There's a lot of wheels turning here. I see some smoke coming out of ears. I see some Googling happening.
You got to look back and see, right? Because that's the big thing is that, you know, like if you look at a guy like Jesse Puljujärvi picked fourth overall, who could you have taken instead of him? You're probably looking at maybe a Sergachev or a Kachuk. And I'm just trying to fill in time here now so that the other boys can come up with their answer.
Well, you gotta think of that, right? You go back in time and go, where were we like one piece away, and was that piece a draft pick? I mean, you want to say Yakupov, but at the same time, if you don't have Yak, you pick someone better there. Connor doesn't end up here.
Well, and his Yakupov's draft was horrendous anyway.
Well, that's what I mean. Right. But if you pick somebody in there, if you just happen to pick the best player in that draft,
yeah,
you may not be getting Connor now.
Well, yeah. Let's maybe, okay, I'll
So you got to get on that, out of this even this era.
I'll amend a little bit then. Let's not butterfly effect it. We still end up with Connor.
Ooh.
But you still get a chance to just, you know.
Yakupov.
I whoopsied on that one.
Yakupov.
So Rick's going with Yak in first overall 2012.
Okay, then
yeah. So I'll replace him with, I don't have the draft in front
Morgan
of me.
Morgan Riley?
But is he the best player in that draft?
Well, after Yak, the top 10 was Ryan Murray, Galchenyuk, Reinhardt,
bad.
Morgan Riley, Hampus Lindholm, Matt Dumba, Derek Pouliot, Jacob Trouba, and then Slater Cuckoo. Philip Forsberg went 11th. Or Andre Vasilevsky was 19th. If you swap Yak with Vasilevsky and give this team the goalie of the future.
That's what I mean, right? Because then all of a sudden you don't make the, if you're having success, you don't make the Eberle trade. You don't make the Hall trade. Now all of a sudden you have Hall and Eberle. You've got Leon. You've got Connor. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. I don't think I'll be wearing pants for at least 7 or 8 years.
Or if you are wearing pants, you're ripping a hole clean through the front of your trousers.
Oh, heavens. Like, there, yeah, no, it's done.
Oh, heavens. I love it.
I'm going to go with, while you guys are thinking about it a little bit, I'm going to go off the board. I'm going to get a little weird. I'm going to go in 2007 with the 15th overall pick. The Edmonton Oilers selected Alex Plant. At 21, they selected Riley Nash. Immediately after either of those picks goes Max Pacioretty. Michael Backlund was in there. David Perron was in there. So I'm going to go with that one because the Oilers had three in the first round that year.
Yeah, Sam Gagner
was the first one. Okay,
hey, listen, Plant almost a championship winner, though.
Like, he is over in Korea.
Yeah. He was in the final, but it got stopped because he's a proven winner.
Beg Milk, how about in that same draft, fifth round, Jamie Benn, he would have been loved here in Edmonton, man.
Oh, that attitude
not,
over here?
I mean, not by the ladies, but like,
yeah.
I mean, you can look that up on your own time.
It's going down.
It's not going down.
It is not going down. Tyler, do you have an idea of, like, if you could just take a clean slate, a blank check on a fresh draft pick, who are you looking at?
Like, the 2012 one, if you could swap out and swap Yakupov for Vasilevsky, and if there's no butterfly effect, I still get Kucherov, and it's basically, like, right now, I get to swap Yak for Vasilevsky and give this team a legit number one goaltender. To me, like, that's got to be the answer. But the other one, too, if you go back 1 year before that, yes, the Oilers selected Ryan Nugent-Hopkins first overall in 2011, Oscar Klefbom 19th overall that same season, but then they took David Musil in round two. What if you could have found a way to swap out David Musil for Nikita Kucherov, who went later in that same round? So I think those are probably my two answers. I would swap the second round pick of Musil for Kucherov, because imagine if in one draft you scooped up Nuge, Klefbom, and Kucherov. Or, I mean, giving this team a legit number one goaltender is just very, very tempting. So I'd look at that as well.
Another one that I would, an honorable mention for me, would go in the Taylor Hall draft in 2010. In the first pick of the second round, the Oilers picked Tyler Pitlick, when a guy like Tyler Toffoli was sitting in there. You know, he would have helped for a long time score some goals. No offense to Tyler Pitlick, but he was like, I always felt like he was one hit away from erupting into dust. So that might be a different option as well if we're looking at the second round.
When did we take Moroz?
Second round again. Second round. Yeah, I think it was like
I thought that was the Taylor draft. Anyways, I'm sure there would have been a player or two buying him that would have been
swapped. Mitch Moroz went 32nd overall in 2012. So the first two picks the Oilers had that year were Nail Yakupov and Mitch Moroz. So that draft is kind of a
dude. You know what I was stoked I was about that, like Yakupov, and then we get that big bulky power forward that's supposed to be adding to our team.
And he's an oil king, so you can watch him develop. It's perfect. I got two. So I went back to the 2004 draft, and as much as I like, and you know, really enjoyed our conversation with friend of the show, Rob Schremp. I'm going with the 25th overall pick. Instead of getting Rob Schremp, I'm actually going to go for a current Oiler right now, and it's Mike Green, who went four picks right after Rob Schremp. Imagine having Mike Green on the point with guys like Hall and and Eberle and Gagne, like all those guys with him, would have been a special moment.
What draft was he, sorry?
Oh, four.
That was 2004.
Well, because yeah, we would have maybe also gotten 82-point Mike Green. Not
yeah, yeah, that's exactly it.
And when he's playing on the right side, he looks to his left, who's right there. The human rake, Chris Pronger, would have been there.
Goodness gracious.
Jeez.
How about
what
this?
A different world.
That same draft, Dan, you go down to 63rd overall. David Krejci was picked up by the Boston Bruins. Imagine that veteran presence through the rebuild. That might have helped things out.
Yeah, no kidding. And my other pick was to go to the 99 draft. By the way, going back to these drafts and like looking at all the players that...
Oh, do not go back to the mid-90s.
You try to dig down deep and see like where you could find a value guy. I mean, this one's pretty cheap, but with our... what was it? Our seventh round pick? Wait, one sec. Just hold, please.
We didn't do
it.
Our
seventh round pick, we picked a guy named Christian Chartier. Not Cartier, but Chartier.
Love that guy.
Picked right from the Saskatoon Blade, right before some guy named Henrik Zetterberg went.
Old Charty, they call him.
if they had just gone ahead and dug deep into Tamura Sweden,
dude, we did a lot of bad drafting back in the late to mid 90s.
Well, yeah, but I mean, when you
Michelle
Reasons,
the Jesse and the Mackies, it was
look at these drafts, like in the ninth round, Boston picked a guy. This is the guy that played the most games in the ninth round. His name is Mikko Eloranta. Does anybody remember Mikko Eloranta?
The old Ellie, they called him.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, these guys, when you were in those deep ends, that's why they've shortened the draft now, because these guys are just getting picked just to get the accolades of being selected by the Anaheim Ducks at 258th overall pick.
Thinking back in your Oilers fandom, which draft pick that they picked, like, they actually went through with it, which one were you most wrong about? Like, this guy's going to be great. This guy's going to... Man, Steve Kelly, that came out real fast, man.
It did. That's the one. I remember that one, the fans chanting for Doan. And we went and picked Steve Kelly. He played 150 games. Shane Doan played 1,500 games.
Like, so you thought Steve Kelly was going to be a player?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, when I was a kid, right, I believed everything that the Oilers fed to me. I was a diehard Oiler fan and believed in them and believed, trusted the process. But since then, I've become jaded and horribly angry all the time.
Tyler, is there a draft pick that you just, like, when the Oilers picked him, you're like, yes! And then just, this guy's going to be so good, he's going to be great, and then it just did not work.
I think the common one you're going to get right now is Magnus Pajärvi. First round, 10th overall. I think everyone was buying into the hype, came in at the same time. As the rebuild was really getting started. He was going to be a part of that hope core, right? And it just didn't work out. Speaking of that hope core, I was a big fan of Linus Omark, and that did not work out either. So, like, recently, I think it's those two. Like, I had high hopes for PRV and Omark, and neither of them worked.
Rick, what do you think?
I'm going to go back to my last answer, but I don't know how it's not Yakupov. Dude, we were jacked, man. We were getting that offensive piece. This guy's going to fly up and down. He's going to be sniping goals from left, right, and center. Like, it was glory days. We were just sitting back awaiting how many cognac shots were we going to have to do that season?
Mm-hmm. I am also going to follow with Rick on this one because I remember the draft perfectly. I was at my old man's house, and I'm yelling at the TV. Pick the fucking Russian kid. Pick the Russian kid. And then he goes out and scores 17 goals or whatever it was in 48 games in that lockout shortened season. Had a great rookie year. And all I could think about was, oh my God, this guy is going to be sniping goals for the next decade. And it's going to be great. So Nail Yakupov, I'm sorry, buddy, but that one hurts. That one hurts me real deep.
It does.
I guess also too, for me, another one would be Marc-Antoine Pouliot. I know that there was like the whole I played with Sidney Crosby kind of stigma to him, but you had to think that there was a decent player in there. Like, not everybody that's played on Crosby's wing has done exceptionally well since then.
And you convinced yourself that exact same argument, which I 100% also did. Like, no, this kid didn't get there for no reason, and No, he's out there doing shit as well. You know, they're gonna look at Crosby. You know, sometimes they're gonna leave Crosby open because let Crosby do whatever he's gotta do. We gotta stop the rest of their team.
Yeah, exactly.
This kid's bringing it. This kid's bringing it. It's gonna be good.
The guy had 100 points in his second season in the QMJHL. It's 114 in his final season. Like he was in 70 games. Like that's that's pretty unreal. He had 45 goals, but he just did nothing in the NHL.
You know what else is unreal, Dan? The service from our friends at skipthedishes.ca.
Oh.
Most importantly, they're keeping our city fed. They're helping support local restaurants. They're helping people get a little taste of something that isn't their own horrible cooking. I mean, that could be just me saying that because I can't cook worth a shit. And having something delicious show up to my house is a nice little treat. And Tyler, of course, we tip our drivers.
Always.
Because these folks are putting themselves out there to make sure that we're all being fed. So skipthedishes.ca, there are thousands of local options and local restaurants that I encourage you to check out. I encourage you to support. Find somebody in your hood maybe you didn't try before. Give them a go and see what you can do with our friends at skipthedishes.ca. Again,
and no update on Arby's delivering out here yet. It's still a no-go. No advancement yet.
I looked, so I got a Donair a couple of days ago delivered to me, and I again searched for my Arby's that is close to my house. And once again, I was disappointed by Arby's. There are people in Sherwood Park and in Millwoods flexing on me with their delivery Arby's, and it's very, very upsetting. 170th yep. Street location.
I'm okay, if they,
or
I'm
178th, okay if they, I should say.
I'm okay if they drive it from Millwoods.
Yeah. You know what, I'm fine.
I get it. It's going to take a couple more minutes. No problem, man. Just go pick it up for me, please.
Yeah, I got nothing to do.
The cheese will have that nice rind on it.
That's good, man.
Yeah, you pull off that cheese skin, it's something that's delicious, you know?
No, you just mix it in there. It gets all going again.
Skipthedishes.ca. Go get yourself something to eat. They are wonderful folks. They are, supporting local restaurants, and that's what we're all about as well. Moving on, gentlemen, I want to touch on very quickly something that we were talking about in last week's podcast, the Gretzky versus Ovi best of three, which turned out to be a best of two that was tied. And my favorite thing, I think, was some of the clips that came out. I love Happy Wayne. Happy Wayne. When they scored an OT goal, clearly it wasn't Wayne Gretzky that scored that goal because his arms are up in the air.
And his controller was the wrong way.
It's so good because Gretzky before this, I was watching some highlights. Shout out to Russian Machine Never Breaks. They did a really in-detailed breakdown of it. And Gretzky started off the thing by saying, well, you know what? I don't really play video games all that often. So as soon as I was reading that, I was like, whoa. But then you see the clips of just how much fun they were having. They raised $40,000 for local charities, which is great. Did you guys get a chance to check out any of the highlights, any of the games, or any of the clips that got released subsequently?
I'm proud of myself, humble brag. I called it exactly how it went. It was going to go to overtime. It was going to be Gretzky not playing the game. I loved it. But you're absolutely right, Ben. It was great to see Wayner smiling. It was great to see, the old guard and the new guard shooting the proverbial shit together, and they just had a blast. And it seemed like everybody in Wayne's house was just having a riot of a time, other than the player that was playing the game. He seemed super intense, but it was just that overtime winner was just so perfect.
Well, I heard it was
on the play. And then they miss on the 2-on-0, and then Gretzky's just made on the fact that they missed on the 2-on-0, and then he scores with one hand. It's amazing.
Well, I heard it was Ty. Ty Gretzky was the one who was playing, and he was laying the beat down on Ovi, and then he handed it over to his big brother, and the tides turned. I guess Trevor wasn't as good of a player.
I just loved it, man. Like even there was a goal. The Oilers were up in the dying moments. Ovi scored with like 2.5 seconds left to back things up and send it to overtime. And his reaction was hilarious. Wayne's reaction was hilarious. I loved that they did this. Obviously, it was all for a good cause. It was just fun. It's fun watching something so silly mean so much to a lot of people, raise some money. And again, Happy Wayne is my spirit animal, and all I can wait for is when he's back here in the playoffs, cheering and getting angry and upset and all that stuff. It was great to see them.
He shows all the same emotions that I feel, so I like it.
Of course he does. Of course he does. Wayne,
he's not trying to hide it either. Like, he's up there in that box, and you know, nobody's sitting within 3 to 4 feet of him because he's probably flailing his arms a bit. You don't want to take one of those in the nose when he already. Absolutely. And he's probably yelling and screaming. Oh, man, I'd love to be hanging out up there with him.
Tyler, any last thoughts on Gretzky versus Ovi?
I just like how they try to hide the fact that he wasn't playing. I was being too optimistic last week, and I was dead wrong. But Dan nailed it. Like, why not just come out and be like, oh, Ovechkin's going to take on the Gretzkys? And, you know, maybe you have Wayne play one period, and then, like, just come. Why do you have to try trick hockey fans? Like, it ended up just being hilarious, and who actually gives a shit? But it's just like, you really thought you could just pull the fast one by having them hold the remote underneath the thing? And I give credit to Dan, because I wasn't even thinking that at all. But, like, why didn't they just say Ovi versus the Gretzkys? Like, come on.
Or just say Gretzky versus Ovechkin, and then have Wayne unveil the fact he's going to bring out the young Gretzky here take over.
Yeah, everything is wrestling. It would be so good to have Ovechkin just absolutely dust Wayner in the first game, like 8-0. And then it's like, oh my God, is that time? Here we go. And then, you know, then it gets crazy from there. It would have been a little bit more fun. But I still think the comedy is that people that just thought it was Ovechkin and Gretzky, and they tune into that clip and they see Gretzky's hands up in the air with one controller. It's just, I don't know. It was really well done. It was a lot of fun.
There was a nice little chirp by Wayne as well at the very end of it, where he was talking about competitive advantages, just to paraphrase. And he kind of finished off by saying, well, you know, Ovi, I did finish with 4 Stanley Cups, so you got some work to do, or something like that. It's great. Nice. I love that shit. Yeah. Speaking of things that I love, Tyler, get your buttons ready. It is time to look at the Oodle Noodle Hot and Cold Performers of the Week. And as always, there's not a whole lot going on in the world of sports, though there was an NFL draft last night. Some of the screenshots that came out from that was looking great. Rick, I saw your social post talking about the Dolphins.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Real quick, 30 seconds each kind of thing. This has nothing to do with hockey, but what do you guys think of the draft? Like, seeing as the NHL is going to probably be doing a virtual draft like this, how do you think it went for the NFL last night?
I thought it was good. I think it's a pretty fan-friendly event to begin with, where, you know, the players come by, they have their usual little celebration with Goodell, which I'm a big fan of. It's usually a pretty fun event, and I think they took a swing here, and it was successful. I liked what they did. Goodell, you know what, he embraces the booze, and he knows what he's out there doing. It's all for entertainment, so I think they did a pretty good job last night.
Well, Goodell's a pre-programmed robot, so yes, he does know his.
I think him and Bettman both lean into the booze, and they go with it and just make the most of it. Like, it's the more they boo you, man, the more you'd rather have them boo you than not say anything, right? That's wrestling again.
For those of our listeners that don't know, this draft was actually supposed to be held on a boat in the middle of the fountain at the Bellagio Hotel in Vegas. But
Jerry was still on his boat, though.
We really missed out. We really missed out on some, like, I think some hilarious visuals from that, you know, a boat that gets broken free from the rains and just starts floating out into the middle of nowhere. I just think there would have been some fun around it. But yeah, I mean, you're right, Bagmilk. This is the new normal as of, you know, April 24th, 2020. And we're probably going to see something similar from the NHL. And Rick's right. It's for the fans, and it was a lot of fun for the fans. And that's what matters.
Tyler, any lessons from the NFL draft that maybe we can look at for the NHL draft whenever that happens to be?
No, I think the NFL did a pretty good job. It was good that the NFL went first, because they're the pro sports league with the most money, and that would lead you to believe they have the most equipment and ability to make this as good as it gets. So it was almost good that the NFL got to be the experiment, and now the rest of the leagues can kind of pick and choose what worked and what didn't when it comes time for them to hold their own virtual drafts.
Anything fun, like any fun screenshots or anything that I may have missed?
There was one where you could see in the back corner a guy was on the toilet.
Yeah, a guy was taking a shit. That's the one I did see. That's great. I love that.
Because there was the dude got drafted, and the camera comes on. He's wearing a fucking robe.
Yeah,
he's on the couch with his parents in his white robe.
I love that, man.
One guy's girlfriend tried to take his phone, and he like ripped it back.
Yeah, he was talking on one phone, and he had his other phone in his left hand. She grabbed it from him, and within half a second, he snatched that thing right back.
Well, you can't let Mrs. have access to the phone untethered like that.
No.
As an aside, this has nothing to do with anything, but like Zoom conference call bloopers or whatever you want to call them is my favorite part about this. There is just some hilarious shit going around the internet. And
like the one where the boss turns himself into a potato and he can't figure out how to change back.
There was one where there was,
I don't know if these are real or not, if they're just made up skits to make people laugh, but I thought that was pretty clever.
Well, there was one that I loved where it was a hairdresser and she was doing a news hit about how you can cut your own hair in self-isolation. And in the background, her husband was in the shower, just dick out and everything. Yeah. And nobody noticed. Yeah. It's the best. I love that.
I saw one where a girl put her face into the guy looking away from his girlfriend to look at another girl meme.
Yeah.
Well, she put herself in the guy looking at the other girl part. And so then she showed an email from her boss like an hour later where he's like, saw your meme. I enjoy the memes. But maybe for professionalism, we should change the background to, you know, where you are right now. And it was just like, hello, fellow kids all over again.
back to business. The Oodle Noodle hot and cold performers of the week. As always, we start with our veggies and the cold performers of the week. Mr. Uramchuk, I'm going to start with you, your Oodle Noodle cold performer of the week.
I got a personal one and a legit one, but I'm going to give you the personal one, let you know what's going on in my life. My fucking car is the cold performer of the week, man. This thing is not that old. I bought it thinking it was a really good vehicle. Granted, I've driven it now for, 100,000 kilometers. But in the last few months, I've had to put so much fucking money into this thing. And still, it seems like every month, it's like, oh, new problem. Bring it into the garage. Oh, it's going to be this much to fix that problem. So again, as soon as we're done recording, I'm going to pick it up once again from the garage, hoping that it works fine. I was having really bad sounds coming from my axle and I couldn't really like describe them. So I went to the garage, picked up the mechanic. I was like, get in, we're driving around. We started driving around and it just happens when I go over bumps. And of course I drive with this guy for like 3 minutes and it doesn't make the fucking noise once. So I'm getting really fed up with my car. I might need to go see the folks at Sherwood Ford because it's driving me fucking bananas.
That's my favorite thing too, because I don't know shit about cars. And like, if I have to take it to a dealership and there's something wrong, and I'm like, well, it's making like a chit 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 sound or something like that, and they're just like, what the hell are you talking about? Rick, your Oodle Noodle cold performer of the week.
I'm stuck in my house a lot here, so I've got a lot of time to watch TV, and I've noticed one thing that. Between daytime and nighttime TV, the daytime TV commercials are horrible. They're horrible. Like they're weird. They're teaching me things that I don't think I'm supposed to know. But it is absolutely, they're sadder. I don't know, man. I'm getting kind of depressed. Like once the sun, 4 or 5 o'clock, and we get back to normal commercials, and I'm okay again. But I don't know, man. These commercials during the day, they're getting to me. Like, ladies are shaving the bottom of their feet. Like, the skin comes off.
I forgot about the button.
Ladies, stop shaving the bottom of your feet. Yeah, why is that a thing?
They're shaving the dead skin off the bottom of their feet, man. You're not watching. I'm going to start taping some of these commercials and send them to you. I'll let you know what's going on here.
Taking them on your VHS.
Yeah, please do, because I am not watching a lot of daytime TV.
I don't know, man.
So are they?
I'm definitely
like,
keeping a couple things to myself right now.
They're like snakes, and they're shedding, but only from the bottom of their feet.
Yeah, they have like a fucking power sander. They have like a power sander going over their heels.
Ah, what is wrong with you?
I don't know.
Ah, Dan, you get away from this. Dan, your Oodle Noodle cold performer of the week.
Well, it's Rick. No, I'm just joking. it's actually going to be my dog, and he's going to be devastated to hear this, but. The little man Penn has started to regress in his potty training, and it is a fucking nightmare being stuck in a house, but he will not stop shitting in and pissing in. So it is my cold performer of the week is my fucking dog.
Can you just go over to Mandrick's house and swap them?
Good idea.
Well, the only thing is that Duke is like half the size of Penn, so they may pick up on it.
I don't know. Probably not.
They got a lot going on over there.
I think Adam and Britt would have no idea.
No idea.
My oodle noodle cold performer of the week is, I got to admit, I haven't parallel parked in a long time. Like, I don't need to. I don't really need to. A little brick, I mean, are the just street parking. There's plenty of it. And then generally speaking, I'm just in stalls or whatever. So right now they're redoing the siding on my townhouse. And this project's been going on forever. But what it means is I have to park on the street. And sometimes there's just no drive-in parking on the street. So your old boy Bag Milk had to execute a parallel parking maneuver the other day. And there was a lady walking her dogs. And the dogs were just kind of stopped doing their thing, sniffing around or whatever. So she was 6 feet from me and probably saw me execute what was the worst parallel parking attempt in the history of automobiles.
It was a 13-point park.
Oh, it was a 13-point park. I jumped the curb. I'm eventually laughing to the point where it's so bad. And then I'm realigning. I don't have my angles right. My cold performer of the week is me for apparently forgetting how to parallel park. Flipping the ledger, something that makes you happy over the last 7 days since we last spoke, gentlemen. It is the Oodle Noodle Hot Performer of the Week. So I'm going to start. Dan, aside from having shit in your house, what makes you happy this week? Who is your Oodle Noodle Hot Performer of the Week?
Well, my Hot Performer is a little bit somber, as everybody knows. And, you know, I know we've all kind of been experiencing the rollout of the information from the province that I spent 15 years in Nova Scotia. Pretty awful events over the weekend. So my hot performer of the week, and I can't thank, the people enough that are out there still having to do their jobs and go into situations like what happened in Nova Scotia that ended the lives of 22 people tragically. It is the RCMP in this country and the police forces in this country. They're still out there. They're out there more often than not, you know, on a lighter side of things. If you follow the Yegg Scanner Twitter account, there's some crazy stuff going on in this city, and it's funny to laugh at, but it's also, you know, it also can be scary. And so I really appreciate and trust and admire the police force in Canada and all around the world dealing with the entire crisis and especially that terrible time in Nova Scotia.
Well, I mean, I can't disagree with that. It's going to be hard for the next person to follow. So I'm going to go. I'm looking at you, Tyler.
Hi.
Your Oodle Noodle Hot Performer of the Week.
My Hot Performer of the Week, we touched on it there, but Roger Goodell for being a good sport, embracing the booze, putting on those fans on the screen. Like, to me, you want to have a little bit of fun in all of this. The NFL draft was a chance for sports fans to, you know, be distracted and entertained from their regular life once again, and they haven't been for a while. So I thought the NFL did a good job, and I thought Roger Goodell did a good job of, you know, lightening the mood. They also did some stuff, you know, thanking service workers and everyone working on the front lines and all that. But they also had some fun. So a big shout out to Roger Goodell and the NFL, which I do not do very often.
Put some respect on my name.
Rick, your Oodle Noodle Hot Performer of the Week.
Yeah, I thought Goodell did a good job there. He usually has like some handshakes he does with some of the big fellas on the stage. So, and when he did that TikTok with, I can't remember what wide receiver it was, I thought that was pretty funny. And then Dan, that YEG scanner there, I had a little lighter note there. What was it, 3 days ago? They had five or six people running around Edmonton naked.
God bless.
It got nice outside, and it was like five or six different occasions where someone just bucking around nude.
Well, they're just listening to the president, man. They just want some UV rays in their bodies. I get it.
I can't believe that more often, to be honest.
All right. So for my hot performer, I'm going with the friendly folks down at United Cycle. I took my bike in there last week, and they fixed it up real nice for me. And, yeah, so I get to take a little bit of a little bit enjoying getting out of the house and still staying away from people and getting some exercise in.
Cash money.
My Oodle Noodle Hot Performer of the Week goes to me because I realized that my neighbor would accept a Bluetooth connection from my phone to a speaker they have in their house. So for the last 3 or 4 days, I've been fucking with my neighbors and connecting to their Bluetooth speaker and playing just complete nonsense in their house. And I've been cranking it up. I changed the name of my phone to something stupid so that they have no idea what's going on. I don't know why they accepted just a random request to have it connected to their speaker, but I had just clips from 90 Day Fiance playing. I had some really aggressive techno yesterday. I just had like this ASMR, like chip eating thing going on. And I could hear them outside because they were on their little patio or whatever, just being like, what the fuck is going on with this speaker? And I am inside my house, killing myself laughing. So my hot performer of the week is actually my, I'll give it to my neighbors for accepting a ridiculous Bluetooth request to their speaker and me for taking advantage of it. Probably going to stream this podcast into their house a little bit later today.
This is hot.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's the best. Like, it's just one of those dumb things that I love to do. Like, at Little Brick all the time, I like to airdrop pictures of things to people in the cafe that'll just accept them. It's one of my small joys in life.
Well, they usually just click the button. They click the accept button, whether it be your neighbors or the photo airdrop people. They just, because it just pops up and you just want to go away, right? Because you're usually doing something. And before you even know what you clicked, you clicked it, and now, bang, there's your picture.
Well, and that has to be what happened, because I've been having some fun playing with their Bluetooth speaker over the last week.
That was the defense I used when I was like 14 years old, too. I just clicked it. I don't know.
There was no Bluetooth when I was 14.
Yeah, when I was 14, we're talking dial-up days, Tyler. We're talking dial-up days and 10-second clips. Just to end off this week's podcast, of course, gentlemen, thank you very much for spending an hour with me. But I do want to plug something I'll be doing at 4:30 p.m. Nation Happy Hour, going live on the Nation's Instagram. That is Nation_ON. We are going live for about an hour, roughly. I'm going to have a cocktail with some people. I got some trivia questions. We're going to give away a little bit of Oodle Noodle for the people. We're going to try a different little concept today. So get your Oilers.
You'll be announcing our simulation prize winners as well.
Oh, I will? I didn't know that was a thing that I'll be doing.
I'll be sending you the names.
Excellent.
Can I come chug a beer?
Of course, buddy.
Are you bringing tequila?
Yeah. So last week, people seemed to like that I did a shot of tequila as well as a beer. So, it's tea time waits for no man. And it's Friday, whatever that means in 2020. Every day is Saturday these days. But Nation Happy Hour, every Friday on Instagram. So we're going live at 4:30. PM.
I'll venture to the store and grab some tequila and have one with you.
Amen. That wasn't me over talking you. That was Tyler over talking you with my
brother. So
but for, I do go to Roger's place and I drink some beers and I do get crazy.
All I want to do is go to Roger's place and drink beers and get crazy. That's all I want to do. On behalf of everybody here, thank you to our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant, SkipTheDishes.ca, and Oodle Noodle for making this possible. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Download, subscribe, rate, let us know how we're doing. You can't do it on Twitter because for some reason our Twitter account has been suspended. Nation Dan and I were doing some investigation. We think that it just got locked and we waited too long to unlock it, and now it is suspended.
Damn it.
What are you going to do?
That might be on me.
Give us our account back, Jack.
Good call, Twitter, on locking down accounts in the fucking crisis.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Secondary Oodle Noodle Cold Performer of the Week, Twitter. Fuck you, Jack. That's it for episode 83. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I'm going to the liquor store.
Shout out, Damien.
To Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media to stay up to date and never miss a podcast.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.